Like start early.
Yeah, you know, we start at 6 and still go until 8.
Tried to get leave late, but I couldn't just fly.
Huh?
Start early, leave late.
Start early, leave late.
Okay. I've got you live.
Okay, are we ready?
Yes, ma'am.
It's now 6:04, and I welcome you to the February 14th public hearing meeting for the Taney County Planning Commission. This is our annual kind of review of codes and discussion for potential changes. So, Mr. Coxey, if you will please establish a quorum. Okay.
Mark Blackwell.
Here.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Randall Cummings.
Here.
Ray Edwards. Sarah Kleinfelter.
Here.
Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Susan Martin.
Here.
Carl Pride. Madam Chairman, we do have a quorum, and if you don't mind, I'd like to call the roll for the Board of Adjustment. I know we only have one here, but they are part of this. So Dave Clemenson, Tom Gideon, Bob Hanslin, Jack Johnston, David Nelson.
Here.
Okay. And again, Eddie, I think it's up to you to...
Yes, ma'am. I want to read to you. This is a different kind of meeting than we normally have. But in page 13 of our code book, section 3.6, the code book states, amendments to these codes should be made as provided by law according to state statute 64863. To provide for an annual review of these codes, the Taney County Planning and Zoning Commission's regular February meeting shall be exclusively devoted to a review of permits issued during the previous year, to a hearing of public comments on the codes, and to the initiation of amendments to that the commission may consider necessary to improve the code's performance as a growth management tool. And that's what we're here for today.
Okay. Item on the agenda, there are a couple of reports that you have submitted to us.
Yes, ma'am.
Administrator's report first.
As you know in your packet, we've given you a whole lot of information. What I'd like to do, if it's okay with you, is read the letter, which is basically the overview, and then answer any questions that you might have. In this report that we sent to you, let me just read the letter and we'll go from there. Letter dated February 4th, 2011. The following is a summary of the caseload which occurred in the planning department for the year 2010. Please find attached reports outlining Division 1, Division 2, Division 3, Land Disturbance, and Board of Adjustment. In 2010, there were 30 Division 3 permits applied for, with 22 approvals, 4 denials, and 4 abandoned, and 0 pending. 17 projects were presented to the planning board for a permit extension and approval. There were 14 cases presented to the Board of Adjustment and consist of 8 variance requests, 5 appeals to the Planning Board decision, 1 request for rehearing reconsideration. Of these 13 cases presented, 3 were approved, 10 were denied. It should be mentioned that some cases appeared on the agenda more than once for various reasons, but each case was dealt with in some manner at the corresponding meeting agenda. Taney County Planning experienced a fairly level year in all areas with the exception of Division 3 permits, which were down 23%, and Division 2 permits, which were down 63%. As you know, Division 2 permits are the actual construction permits for our Division 3 projects, and you know we didn't see a lot of Division 3 projects in the way of multifamily housing and stuff like that, so that consequently is why you see the big drop in Division 2 permits. Due to recent budget cuts, I made the statement that this is due largely to the state of the economy. Due to recent budget cuts in our office staff has been reduced to 3 people, and we're in the process of redefining roles and responsibilities and redistributing the workload to achieve maximum efficiency for the staff and service to the public. This reduced staff will impact our ability to respond to complaints and to discover and correct noncompliant activities. The new price structure became effective in January 2010, and while the number of permits is reduced, 80% of the cost associated with the permit is now being collected from the user. 2010 saw a continued effort on a new code book and zoning districts for Taney County. These proposed changes were met with much verbal opposition from elected officials as well as many members of the county. As administrator, I was instructed by the Taney County Commission to begin work on revision of the Clay County code book in an effort to make it applicable to Taney County and the approved zoning districts passed by the Planning Commission and to the Taney County Commission. I progressed through page 96, chapter 5, of the Clay County book, which is about halfway, and will continue as time allows. Do let me stop there and say I am through page 90, 96 of the Clay County book, but in the changes that have been done, it actually totals up to be just a little over 50 pages so far in the book that we would be looking at using. So it's cut it down quite a bit on that, but just so you'll know that. The zoning districts approved are as follows: A1 agricultural, A3 agricultural residential, R1 single family residential, R3 multifamily residential, R5 mobile home recreational vehicle parks, C1 neighborhood commercial, C3 general commercial, I1 general industrial, O1 overlay districts such as airports, PUDs, etc. The Planning Commission was also asked to consider revisions to our existing code book in several areas as listed below. One was permit renewals. This was an item that we dealt with recently, I believe in October and November, and that was sent on to the commission, and it was approved by the Tennessee County Commission in January. It has been changed in our code book, online and everything. We probably need to get you a new page for that, but you will not be seeing Division 3 permits before the Planning Commission board for renewal in the future, as those have been taken care of. We are also asked to deal with subdivision of land. A recommendation was sent to Taney County Commissioners in November 2010, and as of the writing of this letter, that is still pending. We were also asked to deal with duplexes, as you know, we did. Recommendation was sent to the Taney County Commission in November 2010. That, too, as of this writing, is still pending. Other areas suggested to review were home occupations and road vacations. The Planning Commission has also requested a review of our current code book in all areas detailing dealing with specific sizes, areas, and lengths as to allow for easier updates. Enclosed is the page from our code book showing the implementation of item one. So I did give you a copy of that code book in here that deals with permit renewals. Attendance reports for the Planning Commission and the Board of Adjustment members are enclosed. As you recall, the Taney County Commission requested this tracking in the year 2009 as part of the consideration given to the selection of board appointees. We have included a spreadsheet for the year 2010, as well as a spreadsheet showing total attendance for all years on a board. Lastly, I've attached a document outlining our document scanning process to date. All planning documents to the year 2010 will be scanned and online by January 30, 2011. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for allowing us to serve you as full-time staff. And if we can be of any assistance to you, please let us know. If there's any questions on this packet or anything, I'd be glad to answer those at this time.
Well, I have a couple of questions. Number one, there is no addressee for this document, for your letter. To whom did you intend it to go?
This comes directly to you. This is just my
members
report.
Members of the Planning and Zoning Commission,
yes,
and the Board of Adjustment.
That is correct.
Okay.
I will make sure, well, in the future, we'll make sure that there is an addressee on that for you.
Okay.
But I knew this packet was coming directly to you,
okay.
And that's why it was done so.
And then you also referred to an addendum that was a document that represented scanning process.
I believe it's probably in the very back, or supposed to be. Let me see if I can find it for you. Yeah. Benita has a copy of it there. It is right behind, right before the page of the code book where we put that in there to show you the page that have been changed dealing with permit extensions. It says on the top of it, scanned documents for 2010.
And it's in this?
It's in this packet that I gave you. It's about, it's right behind the division. It looks like the Division 2 permit report. Then we have signed plats.
Okay.
And then after signed plats, there's planning and zoning, estimated money is received. And it's the document after planning and zoning, estimated money is received.
Okay. Then would you please go through the year-end summary reports that you've given to us? I think that's always really interesting information.
If you have this sheet that has the graph on the front, I believe it's the first page after the letter, if I'm not mistaken, this kind of summarizes everything in lump sum here. and we'll give you a comparison from the previous year. And then down at the bottom, that's the same data broken out by quarter. So what we have is, this year in Division III, there were 30 permit applications. Last year, there were 39. So we're 77% of what we did last year. Division II, we issued 17. That's commercial buildings. They can be, and there's a, for each one of these divisions, there is a corresponding report in here that will tell you who they were for, their permit number, everything like that. So, Mr. Hanselman, do you have what we're looking at? Do you have a copy?
I didn't bring my copy, but I'm listening.
Okay.
I've read through it.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't see you sitting there. So, of course, you can see the big drop in Division II this year and even bigger drop from 2008. Depending on the amount of condominiums and things like that being built, that's what really drives this Division II number. If we permitted a large condominium-type project that may have 200 buildings in it, each building gets a permit. And this year we just didn't do that many. So we may have built some buildings that had, 20 units in them, but it may have been one building, so it would have received.
Was that like the apartments on Bee Creek?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that would also be something
right.
Like that.
Right, and the apartments on Bee Creek had like 12 buildings.
Okay.
So
that was a significant portion of the 17, I think.
Yes, sir. I'm sure it would have been. Some of those may have come the year before. But that'll be on your itemized report there if you want to look at that. So, Board of Adjustment saw 13 cases this year, and while that number's down, that's a good number to be down, because normally if something goes to Board of Adjustment, somebody's needing a variance from our code, or they're appealing a decision that was made by this board. As I mentioned in our letter that we read that. They pretty much upheld everything, or they were pretty strict this year, which is what their guidelines are when they're granting variances and things like that. I think 3 approvals out of all 13 issued. 11 land disturbance permits issued this year.
I've got a question for you, Yvonne.
Yes,
and since some of the BOAs here, it's just to make sure that we're doing things properly on our end. Mm-hmm. I know that sometimes on the 5 or whatever that were appeals to the planning board decisions,
mm-hmm.
I'm just curious how we're doing on that. Not how you guys decided. That's not my concern. It's just my concern is if we missed a rule of law, I think that's good for us to know if we've messed up somewhere. So we don't, if we could do it right the first time, that's better. Not necessarily that you turned a decision around, but just.
I don't want to speak for you, but while you're thinking, if I could make a couple comments, then I'll turn this over to you. I think the only approvals they did this year were for variance requests, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think they overturned any of your decisions.
Okay.
As you know, we had a fairly ugly one this year.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty protracted meeting, a lot of people and everything. The finding from the Board of Adjustment was that the Planning Board had followed its procedure. There were some issues, but it did not exist with the Planning Commission board. So I think the only thing we did grant was some variances. And while we're there for just a second, I'll tell you, I gave y'all a book with state statutes in it. We're going to get to that in a little while. The reason I did that is because the Board of Adjustment has a state statute they operate by, and it's very, very strict on what they can do. It talks about personal privilege. It talks about extreme hardship and things like that. They read it at every meeting, so they know exactly what their guidelines are. And we've got a very good Board of Adjustment, and they have begun to really look at things and say, is this something that is truly a hardship? Does this border on privilege? What's the case here? So they've taken their responsibilities very seriously. But they read this statute over and over and over, and there's parts that we can just quote, because we hear it all the time. And I wanted you guys to have that opportunity to know what your rules and regulations are, too, to carry with you if you have any questions or anything like that. So that's why you have that other book, so that you can understand, what's going on there. But
And again, the reason for my question is just for our educational purposes. I mean, I think that's nice for us to know if we have missed out on a rule of law or something and you've turned it over for that. It's good for us to know so we don't repeat the same mistake.
sure if there had been an overturn of law, you heard about it sometime during the course of the year from somebody.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
We get down into, there's a report in here also I'll share with you in just a second. I believe it's the page after this one. With land disturbance permits, there's a lot of money associated. We'll get into that in just a second. But then we get into the kind of plats that we signed in the office. There's final plats. There's amended plats, minor subdivision plats, replats. Again, you saw 17 extensions, which you won't be seeing anymore after this year on Division 3. We didn't issue any floodplain permits this year that I'm aware of. Not saying that nobody built in the floodplain, but we're just not aware of it right at this juncture and everything. Although, you know, this year was the year that we started in the process of proving out new floodplain maps and invited the public in to look at what we've got, those kind of things like that. Issued 21 notices of violation, 14 letters of correction. And then if you'll see at the bottom there, we're sitting on a cash bond balance for land disturbance of almost $300,000. And that's money that has been held for many, many years. So if you'll go to the page, unless you have a question on this page, and it looks like Ms. Kleinfelter might.
Well, the bond. What happens to bond money? Where does it sit? And under what circumstances does it get returned? And can you use...
Yes, ma'am. This is strictly land disturbance money that we're looking at here. We've got a couple of projects that are bonded. Normally when we bond a Division 3 project, it comes to us in the form of a letter of credit or some kind of a surety bond or something like that with an expiration date on it. This is specifically land grading. And what happened is a couple years ago, we began to look at this, and there was wasn't able to close out a lot of files because didn't know if the project was finished. There was this money hanging out, things like that. A code book states that every year, if you've got a permit, it needs to be renewed, land grading included. So we begin to contact these people to renew their permits. And in so doing, begin to examine all this money. The people say, that project's been finished for a while. I'd like to have my bond back. So what you're going to see here is a couple of different things on this page. There's some lines here. The majority of this is in cash. Cash doesn't expire, so that's a good thing for us. But there's also letters of credit, like I say, surety bonds and everything like that. So we began to go back to the files that we had in the office there, and when we started this, we were back in '96, and these are monies that people have put up as a surety. It's been sitting here. When we get it, it goes to the treasurer, who then deposits it. Goes into the general county revenue as a pass-through account. On our budget page, you'll see that's our biggest expense. It's not really an expense. That's just the way it shows up in this. So on our budget line, we are budgeted to return up to $200,000, $250,000 last year, $200,000 this year. So that will fluctuate down some. But as we get new projects, it will also go back up because every land disturbance project requires a bond. So as we go through there, we begin to try to identify these things and close them out. And as you can see down here, at the very bottom, there's some monies here for different reasons that we're unable to return. Can't find the people, can't do a lot of things. And this is something to the tune of about $38,000 almost. That we're going to have to turn this over to the auditor's office, somebody like that, to determine how they want to proceed with this. But right now, regardless of how long we're holding the money, if the project is finished and we can find the owner, their money is returned to them 100%. We don't return any interest or anything like that. We don't charge them any charges. But when we know that we can close out the project, they get the exact money back that they gave to us. So for the year 2010, I thought I had this in front of me. We returned, I think it was it's on here somewhere. It seemed like it was about $214,000. Okay. And then this year on that line, we are budgeted in at $200,000. And you can see some of these are big chunks. Some of them are $1,000, but some of them come in at $30,000 and $40,000 at a WAC. So our hope is to close everything out probably all the way up to 2009 that we can. So that we don't have those things hanging out. But in order to close these out, they have to have the land stabilized, the project finished. They've never done anything.
So is that why quality structures? Well, tell me about quality structures, because that one is a thorn.
Yes, sir, it is.
And that's an expired cash bond? How does cash expire?
No, it's not expired. The permit is expired. We will not renew the permit. The project is not what we permitted. The Division 3 right. project is no longer valid.
Okay.
And there's going to be some discussion on that. But we are holding...
There's going to be some discussion on that tonight?
No, I'm just saying, you know...
So we're waiting to see how everything plays out before...
Right, but the land is still disturbed.
Yeah, way more than $13,000 worth.
Yes, sir, it is. And so consequently... We're not forcing him to renew his permit. He can't renew his – I mean, he doesn't really fall under our jurisdiction as he's existing right now. As a quarry, he falls under – we have not returned the money. He's not asked for it that I'm aware of. If he did, I don't know that we wouldn't have to return it. I just don't know. But right now, that's the money that we're sitting on in 2004 that was put up. The land is still disturbed, and I suppose he could just up and walk away from it, and then we would have to do whatever we can do to stabilize it with that money.
Okay.
And what about the Spielen Group?
For Spielen Group, or Spielen Group, or whatever, they've just kind of disappeared, as far as I can tell. We've tried to contact them.
What was that project?
I believe this was the project out on 265 near the chateau.
The condos? Just north of the chateau?
You know how it stepped down there and you saw the trailer move in?
Yeah.
I believe that was them. I'm not positive, but I believe that's who that started that originally. And then another company bought that out, same company that was doing the work over in Branson. Down on Forsyth Road, and then we've been trying to contact these people and just whatever names we can come up with, everything like that, and we've not had any luck in doing that. I can't remember exactly what the project was, but we can't contact any. I mean, I've got a folder on it, of course, and I've been out there, but I go to a lot of these, so I'm trying to pull this off the top of my head, But the problem with that one is we can't find anybody associated with that.
So, Mr. Coxey, are there procedures in place that if you really cannot find people to return this money to for one reason or another, what happens to that money?
I have not been able to find any procedures for that.
There are procedures.
I would assume.
I mean, I'm sure there is. I've talked with the auditor and everything like that. I'm sure the state has something set up for us to follow. But I've not been able to find anything here at the county that says start doing this. So, but that is something we will do this year.
Okay. Excellent report. I think that information certainly does help.
Any questions on attendance? And of course, if you want to see exactly which Division 1 permits, Division 2 permits, whatever the case, like I say, they are listed out in these other reports that come down through there. List of our signed plats.
Is there a report of the projects that go to Board of Adjustment? There is, isn't there, in here?
Did we put that? I don't think we put that one in here, no ma'am. We did not put that one in here.
Oh, that's
I don't think we did.
Okay. Is it possible to have that report?
We can get that for you. We can get that for you by next meeting. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
You got a copy on that? Okay. We've given you a list of the monies brought in, estimated monies brought in with our new fee schedule. Of course, in a low year, it's very low monies. But yes, that is correct. Had that new fee schedule not gone in place, you wouldn't have been able to buy a good used car. Okay. And of course, you saw your scan document. And then you saw the at the very bottom of the page, that is the change that was made to the code book concerning permit renewal. And then we are into your meeting attendance summaries. And if there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer those for you.
Just a question as to whether or not the cost of maintaining planning and zoning and the Board of Adjustment with our vast honorariums and mileage report, does that become a budgetary issue ever?
Each one of you have a budget line. Each board has a budget line for your meeting attendance and for your mileage. It is, I wish I'd brought a copy with me. Between the both of them, it seems like it's about around $11,000 total. Of course, your board meets 24 times a year if everything runs smooth, and the BOA meets 12. And there's various mileages.
This but that's not become a budgetary
issue. No, if you remember, they did discuss last year, you know, they raised your meeting total when everything got kind of sticky here, and they started looking at things. One of the first things mentioned by was that maybe we should take our meeting totals back to what they were. You also know that your mileage went up last year and then went back down, and that's in keeping with what the state is doing on mileage. I would tell you to have your money before you spend it, because it might change a little bit. You know, this. I mean, I could see them coming back and say we need to cut this back. I'm not saying they are or not or anything like that, but instead of being $40, it could go back to what it was at some time.
Well, I do this for the fun anyway.
I knew you did.
Conversation with our fellow man.
So anyway, I guess I'm saying don't become financially encumbered for your $40 a month.
Okay, yeah. So. No kidding. Okay.
So it looks like it's a little over $10,000 per year for both BOA and.
Yes, sir. Because it is in there. I'm sorry. You do have that on your. It was $7,800 for planning and zoning last year, and that includes your meeting totals and your mileage. When you're not here, of course, you don't get paid either. And then for Board of Adjustment, it was $2,365. Last year. So, Board of Adjustment has been. We went for a couple years where we had trouble. Making sure we were going to have a quorum. A couple of our members on Board of Adjustment were, didn't have anybody appointed to that. When we've got all of them appointed, they've been a very, very reliable board. Any given time, unless they're out of the country touring other places, you'll have all five of them here. Just about, we don't have to worry about trying to scrounge around and have a quorum. It's been very good. They don't always have to meet every month, but, been pretty consistent almost every month. So,
now, according to the Taney County Times, there are two positions open on planning and zoning, and one position on Board of Adjustment. Is that correct?
Actually, we have on our Board of Adjustment, we have several members there that are serving out unexpired terms from the previous Board of Adjustment member that resigned. I believe the people we had on that were. Let me get my book out. Tom Gideon and the guy that lives over near you. I can't think of his. Jack Johnston. Am I correct there?
I think so.
I believe that was the two, if I'm not mistaken. On planning and zoning, it was Randall and Mark Blackwell. All of these gentlemen at one time had asked to be reinstated if the commission would so desire. And then recently we did receive a letter of resignation from Mark Blackwell. So we will are waiting for that. Now, whether these members that we have will be reappointed or new members will be here, I do not know. But that's why this attendance report is given as part of the evaluation tool.
But that's very important that that is done in a timely manner.
It is. Also, you'll notice that boy, I've lost my train of thought here in just a second. The road and bridge supervisor or engineer does sit on your board, and we should have a new one of those here within 90 days to take that position. And then, as you know, on the planning board, it is specific to the township that's open and available.
And Board of Adjustment is not.
Board of Adjustment is at large. However, they always try to, on the planning board at least, make sure that the people that we are getting as best we can come from the unincorporated areas. And you remember the little flap we had about that not long ago. It doesn't always happen, but I believe they try to probably do the same thing on the Board of Adjustment. I'm trying to think where everybody lives. And it's
more than two people from the incorporated area.
Right, and I don't believe we have any right now. I think they're all from the outside of the incorporated areas. So there is some criteria there. The Board of Adjustment's a little more flexible as far as where you can get them from and everything. But
then before we move on to the other part of the agenda, I want to go back to your letter a moment.
Yes, ma'am.
And ask for some clarification. Let's see. This quote, something to the effect that we are reduced to a staff of 3 people.
Yes, ma'am.
We're in the process of redefining roles and responsibilities and redistributing the workload. So could you please bring us up to date on what is happening with kind of the restructuring of planning and zoning?
Currently in the office, myself, Benita Cassie, and Marla Pierce. We, as you can see, our workload is not as heavy as it has been in years past. We still do the same things with our Division I permits. You know, we're out there a couple times to verify setbacks and to issue CFCs. Our Division II permits require the posting of the properties. Meeting in the office. It also requires on-site visits, a couple of those, and issues of CSCs. And, of course, you know the procedure for our Division III where it's filmed and posted and meetings that we have with that. Traditionally, the two ladies have not ventured into the field on their own. That is, and then all permits were actually issued by myself or the other inspectors. We are in the process of training everybody to be able to issue any permit, creating common areas where anybody can access that from any computer. If Benita needs to issue a Division II or I need to issue a Division II, there's a series of letters that go along with that. They need to be saved where we can all have access to that. In the past, it was saved on the particular inspector's computer or something like that, and he kept a logbook. Now we're having to learn to do that as an office. There's you know, just a lot of different duties that are having to be shared, I guess is what I'm saying. So we're also working with our Information Services Department to working on a program that will allow us to do data entry in one place, and from that we can issue our receipts, and we can also issue print our permit. It'll come out in the right color and the right size and all the information necessary to streamline that. It will cut that down to one data entry instead of several that's been happening. So it's going to require that some different people are out in the field at different times and everything, but that's kind of where we're headed.
I guess my concern, Eddie, is that at one point, and maybe back to when Larry Rowland was here and there were 2 field men, if I remember correctly, that simply kind of drove around the county periodically and eyeballed things, people that were breaking codes. And we lose that.
Yes,
kind,
ma'am,
of regulatory ability right now.
When I hired on in 2005... I hired on as a Division II inspector, and I took care of land disturbance. Of course, it was my job to see to all this stuff, and it was a busy year if you look back at 2005. But it was described to me by the administrator at that time. My job was to be in the field 4 hours a day to look for new wood, new dirt, mud, whatever the case might be, and to ensure that permits were issued and everything like that. It becomes increasingly difficult to do that. We do, as we're running around from place to place with these Division I permits and what we're out, we do make note of what we see and then come back to do the research on it to see if there are permits issued or if we need to send letters and things like that. But that is not our primary focus at this time. It is trying to meet the needs of the public that is needing attention through the issuance of permits or questions or whatever the case might be.
So as we're driving around as commissioners, being that we know this, we might at least keep our eyes out for new wood, new dirt, new mud.
And then you can just tell us to check it out.
I mean, we are from all parts of the county.
Sure. And so we get a lot of calls like that. There's several on my desk right now. Depending on what's going on that particular day or week, I might not get to it right away, but we'll try to make sure that we've checked everything out as much as we can. Usually, when you get into a situation where there's no permit issued, it doesn't stop with just a phone call or one letter. There's usually you create a lot of work there trying to. Get people into compliance, but that's what we do.
The longer it gets, the worse it gets. So.
Yes, sir, that is, and the more that it's not, in my opinion, the more that it's not stayed on top of, the more people take advantage of it, I think. So we would appreciate the extra eyes, and we'll do what we can to make sure at least letters are sent and followed up on as much as we can.
And the only other report that we don't have a sense of are the number of people who were not abiding by code regulations and eventually went into court cases or criminal charges.
I'm not always notified as to the actual filing of criminal charges or court cases pending or anything like that. I know a lot of times there's threats. I don't always know that there's actually an active case. I do know there were several this year that I have turned over to the prosecuting attorney's office, and hasn't progressed very far, I guess is what I'm trying to say. There's some things that have been done, but as far as I'm aware, nobody has been taken to court. No judgment decisions or anything like that at this particular time. There are some things pending, but that's all I can share with you there. I'm not privy to all that information.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
If I can update you.
Sure.
A little bit. One of the commissioners and I recently had an appearance in front of the Missouri Board of Architects, surveyors, landscapers, etc. Evidently, there had been a couple of complaints from down here in Taney County for people not using a professional when they designed their commercial building after they got what they referred to as a building permit from the Taney County Planning and Zoning. However, I explained to them that it wasn't what you would consider a traditional building permit and suggested to them that we might want to change the name of our building permit to something else like a zoning compliance permit or something along those lines. Okay. And they had a couple of other suggestions, but other than that, I just wanted to update you on that because planning and zoning was mentioned and they wanted to know about our planning and zoning system and some other things.
And as far as I know, nobody in my office and nobody on your boards have been summoned into court or anything like that or have any kind of thing pending like that I'm aware of. But the item which Bob speaks to, we for the past, well, ever since I've been here, once a year we've heard from this inspector. And every year they change their law a little bit. And this year they just felt like we were truly violating their law. But they assumed that we were just approving some things that we just didn't do. So that was handled by, like I said, Mr. Paulson and everything. And I think we're in compliance with them. We're okay.
I don't think they have a real problem with this.
So. Okay. Are we ready then to move on? Any other questions from anybody besides me? We've prolonged this probably long enough now. Let's move on to the public hearing on the codes.
We have with us tonight... Harry Styron was supposed to be here. He couldn't make it, but Mr. Coker is here. And Mr. Coker wanted to speak with you, I believe, about duplexes. And I did bring a copy of what we sent to the commissioner. So while he's up talking, I will pass that out to you so you can remember what your recommendation was to him.
Good evening. My name is Jess Coker. I live in Stone County. However, I do own, my wife and I do own five significant pieces of real estate in Taney County. We office in Taney County, and we feel like we're a qualified taxpayer. One of the pieces of real estate that I bought 3 years ago was a duplex. There are two duplexes located on Iowa Colony Road that went bankrupt through a bankruptcy, and a builder finished them out, and we actually bought one half of the four units that are basically make up of two duplexes. At closing, we found out that... the only way we could title this property was as a condominium, which means at the closing table we found out we didn't own the property, that the association had to own it, and so forth. Well, we appeared before the commission on the possibility of maybe changing the codes or finding some disposition or something where we might be able to title this as a patio home or a duplex, because it's only two units. Well, we were not necessarily turned down, but I think it was taken into consideration, but it was not approved. And what's happened since then, and maybe you're getting the same thing, but I'd like to pass this out. This is an email that was from Jim Strapis, Harry Styron, to see if we could come up with some provisions, simple provisions, to allow us to... convey a duplex as a duplex or a patio home rather than having it as a condominium, because we've owned this, and we bought it from my mother-in-law, and since then she's had to be going into an assisted living home, and we have it leased right now. But we have an offer to sell it, but as long as it's going to be titled as a condominium, the people who lease it now are not going to buy it because they don't own it. But Harry has actually highlighted the changes that would need to be made. And I know on two separate occasions, these two duplexes have been replatted by Eddie Wolf, and they do meet all specifications of a duplex that is, in fact, this is the definition of the Taney County duplex definitions that I got from Anita simply today.
Yeah, we got them.
And we meet all the specifications for allowing us to come forward, and I just wanted to appear before you guys tonight to see if that might be a possibility, because it is a hardship, because my wife's in the mortgage business, and if you know how hard it is now to finance a condominium, it's very, very difficult. And the mortgage business has changed in the last 2 to 3 years, as we all know. It's very difficult to get a loan. Anymore, you got to have a 640 credit score. But we have qualified people that, and I think it would not only affect me, but hundreds of people who have small units where we really don't have an association or don't need an association to own a unit. But I just wanted to submit that tonight to see if we could get some consideration to either change the code. Every contiguous county besides Taney allows, if I built a duplex in Stone County, I could actually title it as a patio home, which opened up an immense ability to refinance or to purchase or whatever it may be. Anyway, I just want to meet with y'all tonight to see if we might get some consideration. And I know that y'all have been submitted these changes that might be able to go forth.
Mr. Coker, you appreciate your appearance tonight. But you're raising really interesting questions about mortgage companies, and you're implying that they are more hesitant to fund mortgages for condominiums.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Why? Why has
well,
the
you
word
get involved
condominium...
in nightly rental and people, I mean, you can't get a condominium financed. My wife, she represents Prime Lending, which is the largest lender in the state of Texas. She's run a branch office here for 8 years and probably knows more about the mortgage business than anybody in this town. But she has very difficult chances of financing or find financing for a condominium project.
But if it were a patio home?
Patio home is completely different because it's not... You own the patio home. The association doesn't own the patio home. What we're trying to get the codes changed or a disposition is the fact that right now, two of these units would appraise about $250,000 and two would be about $325,000 because they have a finished out basement. But right now, the association, and we don't really... Harry has drafted an association, but it doesn't make any sense to have an association when you only have two units. I mean, a condominium association is for a group of people who get together and make these decisions. We want to own our own home. We want to pay. We pay our own taxes. We pay our own insurance. We pay just like we own a home, but we don't own a home because its title is a condominium.
And the reason we do that is because all the land is held in common. Mm-hmm. And what he's kind of wanting to do is split that at the common wall, make the lot,
well,
which is what you passed on.
And I can only speak for me, but I mean, obviously, when Harry was here before, and I know I took it into consideration and understand that what your situation is, and I don't disagree that we need to have something out there. The problem or the issue that we've got now is there's, as a whole, your building's already done, but as a whole, we also have a responsibility on a safety side, and where we're running into a wall is that exact thing, the wall. We very much want to, for lack of a better word, require a one-hour fire-rated partition wall. It's right on that thing.
Right.
A one-hour fire-rated partition wall from foundation to roof decking should be required between dwelling units. I would like to require that as a requirement to build that. I do believe that most builders certainly wouldn't have a problem with that, as they can see the... But your issue with doesn't, in my opinion, lie with this commission.
Where does it lie?
With another commission. We've actually turned this over to the Taney County Commission and asked them to take a look at it in November.
Yes, sir.
In November. So I actually am very much for, I'm just speaking for me, I can't speak for moving this along because I see your issue. But we can only do what we can do, and we've passed this on to the Taney County Commission asking them to move on it. Now, they've been awful busy with other stuff. I'm not throwing them under the bus, but
this was submitted to the Taney County Commission, I think.
It was, but we can't do anything with it until they do something with it. So, to me,
what
anyway...
What would you recommend that we do? Just kind of hang on and see what happens?
No, I would squeaky wheel a little bit. I don't know, but, I mean, that's, you know, if it were me, I would want to know when they're going to act on this. But that's up to you. I'm just telling you
Harry
that we've...
Well, Harry couldn't be here tonight, and actually it was last minute I found out he couldn't be here. He's got had a court date. So, you know, I'm sort of a neophyte in this, and so I maybe can get Harry to represent us to find out and who to contact there and to give me some direction of what we need.
Because if I'm not mistaken, Eddie, this was our suggested fix for your exact problem.
Yes, sir. We looked
and
at...
We've already sent it.
My opinion... And, you know, is that there's going to be a problem with the one-hour rated fire. It may not.
Right.
But that's, in some people's opinion, we're trying to do building codes. And that's not the issue here. We're just trying to protect the two different. And we do feel like that's.
Okay.
So.
That's the problem.
Because duplexes are not inspected by the.
Fire district.
Fire district. Where. A typical, what we refer to as a condominium or apartments, because I know condominium is a style of ownership, but they are. And so those can then be, so we've got this problem where we're trying to protect two different owners, you know, where they're already protected in an apartment style or what we would refer to as a condominium style because of fire. They will not inspect these, but they do inspect those what we typically think of as a condominium.
Well, how does every other county around Taney allow a duplex to be titled as a it's a patio home? Every county around Taney County, with except for this one, allows you to do that. If I built a duplex, I could call it a patio home.
I have a very strong opinion about that, but it's just an opinion, and I would rather keep that to myself.
Oh, that's okay. That's just, but, I mean, it's really created a hardship from the standpoint of when you try to resell this. If somebody's going to pay $300,000 for a house, a duplex, they want to at least own it. They want to own the property and so forth. And if there's only four families that live there, why should we have a whole association to be able to make the decisions for your piece of property?
I think we've tried to remedy that, but no, it's stuck.
And you'll know originally when that project was approved, it was approved for more buildings
it
than
was,
that.
It was. But
and yeah. they built the first two buildings in the yes.
Right. The
sure.
Yeah. Right. And we understand where you're coming from and everything.
Well, I'll talk to Harry, and I appreciate your time and listening to me, and we'll.
And again, that's just my opinion. I don't want to speak for anybody else.
Well,
just,
it was passed unanimously.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to.
So, I mean, we're making a concerted effort to.
Okay, thank you all very
to
much.
To help.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have anybody else signed up to speak, Anita?
Okay. Do you want to go?
I do. I wanted to make sure we had everybody from the public done.
Okay.
If that's okay. I'm sorry I jumped past that. But.
Anything that you wish to address the joint groups? Okay.
I delivered to you tonight a little small packet that's colored and has Mr. Pingleton asked that we look at the code book to find areas where numbers were used in our code book that we might consolidate into a different area so that when we got ready to make a change, we didn't have to run all over the code book trying to make changes. So on the very first page, you'll see green, you'll see yellow, blue, and gray. I started through the code book, and I gave you the page number, and then if it had a section number, I gave you the section number and what was going on with it. And then I rethought what I was doing, trying to put all this together and everything, and decided I'd leave it like it is and tell you what I've done here.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. So what I did is I started going down through here, and every time I saw a number, I started writing it down. And then I realized these numbers need to exist in some places, and in some places they're only mentioned in one place, and maybe they should stay where they're at. If there was an appendix or a table or something like that that could be moved to, and maybe even needed to create a table or something like that, then that's probably what we should do. In the green, you'll see probably about eight items there, seven or eight items. They're all in definitions. I didn't know if we wanted to change definitions. Most of these deal, specific days or something like that. But anyway, I've situated this so that you can take this and go and look at it and see what you think, and then we can make some recommendations next week or whatever. But the ones in yellow, I've made some changes, and I've included the page of the code book, the area that was changed, and to know what was changed, you're going to have to look at your code book or go online and look at your code book. But what's in yellow was what was changed, and then I've tried to put the appendix or whatever that was going to move all that information to, so we'd know where it was. And I know there's a couple of mistakes in here, but go ahead and mark them up and everything like that. So what I've tried to do is show you where the change would occur in the book, and it has to be formed. What's that?
I said I think you were talking to me there.
No, and everything. But so the first page would be where we're changing it in the book. The second page would be where that change went to, and everything. And then, like in the blue section there, it says page 17. The height amendment is only mentioned in one place, in one page. So if we're going to make any changes in the height amendment, it's right there. So I didn't see the need to try and create an appendix or anything for that. On 21 line, the blue line that says 21, that's the BOA statute. It's the only place it's mentioned in there. Didn't see the need to do that. And then when you get into these other ones, you just kind of need to look at them. It's they're kind of a one-time mention. It's not a universal thing that's carrying through the book or anything like that. Or it's the appendix or the table where these things would reside. So what I did is I put this together for you so you can share my pain and realize there's a lot of numbers in this code book. But I think the big ones we were looking at, like lot sizes and things like that, street widths and everything like that.
Since I'm the one that brought this up, that was my real intention, was right. to change the ones that were there multiple
right.
times.
Right, and I believe I've
because
dealt
because there's a lot of numbers yeah. in the code book.
And I think I've done that. I need to work on the wording yeah. some. I understand that and everything, but yeah. that's kind of what I've got there, and let you look at it yeah. and see.
I didn't necessarily mean to change every number that you saw, just yeah. where they showed right. up multiple times.
Right, and that's why I thought you were headed there. If there yeah. was a place where the numbers could be consolidated into a table or an appendix,
exactly.
that's what I was trying to do.
That's
so
my thoughts.
I know the wording. This is not formatted correctly. This has not been changed. What would have to happen is this would have to, again, be a recommendation to change. It would have to go to the commission. The commission would have to approve it. Then we'll go to Sean. He'll reformat our book, make these changes. and then – not that Sean, the other Sean, NIS. and everything, because we have one tech that updates our books, makes the changes in it, and then updates it online and everything like that, and then we give a copy to the clerk's office. So that's kind of what we have here. Okay, questions? Okay, if everybody's happy, Sean Pingleton and I will work this out,
yeah,
and then we'll go from there. I need to bring up a subject real quickly and need to do it as generically as possible. I need you to be very careful about locations, names, things like that. I recently visited a site with one of your fellow commissioners on this board concerning an area that's been pretty high profile. And we met with the owner of the property concerning what's going on out there, and I really don't know how to go into this, guys. Anyway, I believe it's the position of our commissioner, Ms. Martin, if I'm not going, I'm going to mention her name because she's here, that probably our office should be doing a little more out there than what we're doing. It has been indicated to me that, depending on the statement of the gentleman, we should leave it alone. So, enough being said, this is a land disturbance issue. And if you feel like the office needs to pursue that, just need the guidance from you gentlemen. It will be probably an issue. But this is a land disturbance permit on a large project that's been talked about in the county.
Let me guess one.
No, don't. Please don't guess.
I won't.
Okay. But I just need to see.
But you're saying it's a highly visible project.
Yes, ma'am.
And that there is quite a bit of land grading that has gone on.
Yes, ma'am. That is correct.
And the question is, what is our role?
What would you have me do? I guess is what I guess. I've reported to you on this a couple times and stated to you the position. At this time, that came down from our elected commission in December.
The question I have is: at what point do we have to not look the other way? Because of the, I mean, if what if they never get a permit? At what point do we come back and say, "Oh, you should have gotten permit for that"?
You shouldn't. Look the other way. I think what Eddie's trying to say is he's in a very delicate pin,
okay.
Position between a rock and a hard place, and what he could use is if you want something done, he needs direction from you to do something so that when he does that, he has some backing somewhere.
Well, I think
am I right?
Yes, sir. I mean, gentlemen, as I read it, I work for you guys. If y'all need something, if I'm not handling something correctly, y'all need to reprimand me, whatever the case might be. You need to, and you've done it in the past, you've instructed me, go and do this. That's what I'll do.
I think consistent interpretation of the code is what you simply go by.
Okay.
We shouldn't do more for others or less for others, no matter who they are.
We had an issue arise and lead to petitions to dissolve planning and zoning regarding a certain piece of property where someone may not even have been a farmer but claimed that he was doing agricultural work. Mm-hmm. And then on this very project that I think we're discussing, there was a claim that it was agricultural work.
That is correct.
But I think there's been other statements made that contradict that. But that's the same as in the other case where there were statements that contradicted the other gentleman's claim of agricultural work, and it raised a firestorm. If I'm misstating, please let me know.
Oh, I don't think you are.
So I think what Mr. Cox is looking for is some direction.
And I will do what you say.
May I make a statement?
Yes, you may.
I think it boils down to a matter of integrity. And I feel really very, very strongly about this. If we're here just spinning our wheels, I'm sure all of us have better things to do on two Monday nights a month. But if we are here and we have been given the trust of the commissioners, knowing with the understanding that we were going to do our job and we were not rubber stampers, I think that it comes down to a matter of not only our personal integrity, but also the integrity of this commission. And I agree with Sean. Everyone should be treated equal across the board. And this is something I really feel pretty strongly about.
I don't think anybody in this room disagrees with you. But, again, what Mr. Cox is looking for is just some direction.
I think he needs, this is my personal opinion, I think he needs to pursue it on behalf of planning and zoning and make sure that this particular project is in compliance.
I don't know,
think you need a vote. I just need to know that.
We've all seen that disturbance. So, and that's what we need to do, is we need to find out what's going on there.
I think what he's looking for is at least the direction without a vote of the board to do what he needs to do so that.
I guess a consensus would be to say pursue it. Let it stand. But I hear from Ms. Martin we're wanting to pursue this.
I guess I'm totally confused as to where this property might be, and since we're not going to reveal that location. Okay, but let's assume.
If anything, that should be held at a higher regard, not a lower regard.
Exactly.
If I came in
because
here asking for something.
Because of the visibility of the property.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It should be, I would expect to hold myself to a higher regard if I was coming here asking for something, not a lower regard.
So, is the direction of the board that he do something, that's what he's looking for.
I think regardless of where the project is or who's involved, that everybody in the county will be treated equally. And I think he ought to pursue it and make sure that everyone in the county gets equal.
Looks like we have a majority there, so I will.
Because I'm on this board, I shouldn't be able to go out here and start doing something, putting in a subdivision or anything else without approval from this board.
Absolutely. I agree.
This project shouldn't be allowed to either.
I don't disagree. Everybody should be treated equally.
Not only that, I would rather have somebody represent me without you all anonymously so it didn't seem like me being a part of this board swayed the decision. I mean, even that, if I had something going on, I don't think that's necessary, but that's just my stance on it. You need to go above and beyond.
Mr. Cox, he was called out to this project, and as he said, he was a member of this board that was there. It's my understanding that statements were made that were inconsistent with earlier statements, but it puts Mr. Cox in a bad situation, and he's just asking for direction. I believe he knows what needs to be done.
I do. I just wanted to make sure you knew where we're headed. So we will head on.
Well, I don't know whether or not this is an appropriate comment or not, but I would think that consistency in interpretation of the rules and regulations by all people who are in decision-making positions in Taney County need to be followed. And I would think that there were some examples of times last year when that was not necessarily the case that got everybody into a considerable degree of difficulty. So I think we ought to treat everybody equally and equitably.
That's fine, and that's the way we'll proceed. I just wanted to make sure, because I've reported back to you where we stood and what we were doing and why, and now the board's of the position that we need to pursue, so we will pursue. Last thing, real quick, I'll tell you, I have given you...
Let me just ask one other silly question. Why wouldn't we?
We do not permit agricultural projects. You all are aware of that. If it's an agricultural project, we do not permit it. If it's an agricultural structure, we don't issue a permit to build it. If you're plowing and getting your land ready, knocking down trees because you're going to plant corn or whatever the case might be, we do not step into that at all.
Need I remind you of a mobile home park project that claimed it was agricultural that led to...
You plant little trailer seeds and they sprout up.
But
that
means you're doing agriculture, it ends up sealed or anything else going on another property, or then it becomes a problem, right?
Yes, sir.
There are DNR regs.
There are some DNR regs and everything, and it is something. I will tell you this, I have discussed the possibility with our elected commission of not being in the land disturbance business at all, because they do get a permit from us, they do get a permit from DNR. However, depending on the most recent data from the census, if we are at a certain amount of population, we will be required to be what's called MS4 compliant, and we will be responsible for unincorporated Taney County, regardless of whether we choose to be in the land disturbance business or not, as far as stormwater runoff and things like that. So that is something that we're looking into to see. We may have just hit the cusp where we're going to be in the land disturbance business for the rest of our lives. I don't know. But we get into a situation to where if an individual says, I'm agricultural, I normally back off and say, okay, and we don't go any further. Otherwise, it could get kind of ugly, I suppose, depending on what we do.
Well, you mentioned earlier that you guys read your Board of Adjustment. I don't know exactly, but I think what we – just a one little quote out of there, we want to avoid a mere grant of privilege.
Yes, sir.
In any instance. Just be equal and fair to everybody.
And I learned of this a few minutes ago, but, I mean, everybody needs to be treated the same. The law needs to be enforced consistently.
And we've tried to do that across the board. But again, I mean, you know – if the person comes out and says it's agricultural.
Well, they do have to give you some proof that it's agricultural, though, right? That they're not planting trailer seeds.
And until the crop comes up, how do you know?
Well, when does it not count that the owner of the property specifically said what was the intention other than agricultural?
In theory, in the compliance with the law, I agree with you 100%. I'm just telling you that there was a recent case where Eddie's coming from, where Mr. Cox is coming from, is that there was a recent case where a gentleman was actually inquiring of the electric company about hookups. He was telling people about a mobile home park. And then suddenly he was
in the electric company came to me.
Please leave me alone. And he was in every day in front of the commission complaining about the fact that he was being disturbed because he was agricultural. And it put a lot of undue pressure on Mr. Coxey and the Planning and Zoning Department. So that's where they're coming from. I don't think there's any wish not to consistently apply the law. It's just that recent experience, I think, is fresh in people's memories.
But we will proceed.
Well, I just have, again... Isn't a land use permit necessary for funding purposes?
Land disturbance can be done by anybody at any time without a land use change.
It's not for funding of our department or of our operations. A land use permit and the bond is simply to assure that they're going to put the, they're going to complete the project as designed, or they're going to put it back as close to the state that it was in prior to the land disturbance. That's the reason for the bond. As far as the permit's just to cover the
sure, I understand that, but I guess my whole question is, why has that particular project not gone through the traditional planning and zoning hearing process?
It is yet to do that because some other issues were being worked out and everything.
It's still agricultural.
And if it's agricultural, it doesn't have to.
Until he determines it's not.
Which means that any project can be agricultural if you say it's agricultural, and you can just go forward with your project until you start building buildings or laying out pads. But that's not, I would say that's not logically the case. But
it's also gambling. Spend all that money and you don't know whether it's going to be approved or not. It shouldn't make a bit of difference to this commission if they've done that. It's just a matter. Yes, that's right.
There's no requirement of proof of crop or agricultural usage within a growing season or.
No.
I don't think there's any standards set forth in our code.
And there's no penalty if you changed your mind.
Right.
I mean, it's just.
We're not saying that.
We don't think that should be the case, but normally, if that's the claim, then we are to back off because we do not permit anything agricultural. Structures are land disturbance.
So somebody has been reading the code through their own particular description of glasses.
Or coached.
Or coached. Mm-hmm.
Can we find out more about the land disturbance, what we're going to be liable for as far as the state statutes or something? So maybe we can use that approach.
The state statute, I believe it's in what I gave you, I'm not sure, but it talks that you have the right to establish your rules and regulation. The state statute also tells you that that agricultural is exempt from most of the planning and zoning rules. And if I'm not, I don't want to misspeak here, but buildings that are 100% agricultural, and sometimes the residential structure on a farm can be, and a bunkhouse, something like that. In some counties, they do that. In some counties, they don't.
But what are you talking about? DNR still has regulations, even on
DNR does have regulations, and I've received several calls from DNR. And matter of fact, today he called me while we were out, and I was wanting information, lost the call was dropped. I haven't been able to get him back, but they do have regulations. They too will back off on agricultural. They require a little more proof and everything, but they too do not regulate agricultural. However, they will make sure about runoff. They will make sure if it's critical areas such as floodplains or in the instance of one other issue. The way this was graded caused all the water to run down into a wastewater treatment plant, causing it to overflow. They were very interested in that. Now, that's not the project we're talking about now, but so they do. However, as you know, the office for this area is in Springfield, and they're not aware of what goes on in the county. That's why they're very interested that the county does what it does and everything. So, but. It's just one of those situations where, you know, it's I've been told to my face that it was agricultural. I've also been told it was something else and everything and recently. And I thought by now that I would have a permit in hand for this. I don't. I will nudge that along.
Can we request in writing that they specify what it is or not? To anybody, not just them, but to any citizen. If we go out, I mean, it's just he said, she said, otherwise. Can we request something in writing that they?
I'd have to look at the code again, but I mean, obviously, we need to enforce consistently sure. the land use disturbance.
Yeah, and I'm not even just talking about this because that just yeah. brings up.
But I understand what you're saying. If you drive up on something, or say I drive up on something and say, hey, I see what you're doing here. Here's our code and everything. They say, well, it's agricultural. I say, could you give me a statement in writing to that effect?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm actually just asking from here forward. That's just a
request one so that you can put it in the file so you don't have to disturb you anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really.
See if they're willing to lie in writing. If they're lying.
Right. If they're not being truthful, then it might. But even and if they are, they're protected and you're done. I mean, they've sent it to you. And,
so, anyway, we'll proceed on, and I will keep you
well,
in the loop on that.
But, Eddie, the question is, how will you proceed? I mean,
well, we've got a process. I will send a letter, notice of violation, that we're of the opinion that this needs a permit, and request that they, in a certain amount of days, respond to us and get their application in, unless they send me documentation of some sort proving that it's not, then after that we have a letter of correction, which is a little more strongly worded and comes with the potential of some penalty. And what the process does is we go through this process and then I get to the point where it's turned over to the prosecuting attorney. But I have to go through this process to get all these ducks in a row to do that.
Yeah.
So it can take another 20 days or so. I think we'll have it in hand by then. I don't think that'll be an issue, but I will get on it right away. The ultimate goal is to bring everything into compliance. It's not to necessarily shut anything down or anything like that. It's to bring it into compliance. And a lot of this project has some of the items that are needed for compliance in place. So you just haven't seen or heard anything about anything yet. Okay.
Okay, back to the agenda. Are we through with the public hearing code updates? Do anything more you wanted to say about that?
I am done.
Okay.
Unless you, I will. In my letter, I mentioned to you they had asked us to look at home-based business. A home occupation type thing, and one other thing, I just need to know if y'all want to pursue that any further right now. You know what you want to do now. I have not had the ability to work on the Clay County Code Book for a couple weeks, and I'm hoping to get back into that shortly. I was hoping to have it finished by the end of the month. It's not going to happen, but I'm very impressed. With what I'm reading and how that thing is set up, and almost to the place where I feel like we're spinning our wheels on this old book a lot. However, I know we're going to be with this old book for a bit longer because the process is going to be quite long to get a new book approved. So just depends on what we need to attack.
But I think what you've done to improve it, I think it's to clarify it has been very good. I know it's been exceptionally helpful to me, and I think to the general public, it has clarified a lot of gray areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what a code book is for. So there's no room for misinterpretation.
Question for next Monday, Tuesday, at 7:00. The question is, what is our agenda?
We will need to, these items that I've given to you, as far as changes in the code book. We'll try to formalize that a little bit. So if you get an opportunity to read that and we'll call the office, I'll try to make sure that we've got this written exactly like you want it written, so that you can review it again. And if you want to make a recommendation at that time to send that on to the commission, we can do that. If you want to take that home and study it again and make the recommendation in the March meeting, we can do that. So that will be on the agenda. I don't know what you want to do with the public input tonight as far as duplexes. If we're okay with what we've got, we can do that. We're still sitting on a few things. I can go back a couple of years. I can bring those issues back to you. We had a request to the commission to approve that they vote on every land use change that we do, every land use change the BOA might approve, that they are supposed to be the final vote on that, and that we get a process in place to do that. Right. And then we also asked at one time for some kind of an ordinance to give to the recorder that dealt with the subdivision of land, that any subdivision of land, whether it come through with a warranty deed or plat or anything like that, get the approval of planning and zoning to make sure that the property's not landlocked, things like that. There were some things, and that's a couple years back that we've got that are still kind of just sitting there. They're not going to go anywhere unless we bring them back up. I don't know if you want to bring those back up and try to push them or anything like that.
I promise I'll keep this short, but I got a couple questions about this book you gave us.
Which book?
And it just the stuff you mentioned actually just now is one of the questions I've got.
Okay.
It's kind of for you. These are state statutes that are already in place, right?
Chapter 64, Bob.
Okay.
I
generally with Chapter 64.
Okay,
yeah,
speaking about, I got four things. Speaking about the plats and that filed, and man, I have no idea what I'm talking about. That's why I'm asking you. But in 64.245, subdivision plat or instrument describing not to be recorded until approved. First sentence, after the county commission has adopted the subdivision regulations, no plat or instrument describing a subdivision land within the unincorporated area of the county shall be recorded or vacated until the plat is first submitted to the planning board. Isn't that already covered, then, by state statute?
The county, the recorder in Tannehill County.
64.245.
Land can be split in a lot of different ways. Okay, it doesn't have to come to us with a plat.
But how can it be recorded or vacated?
The recorder will record anything that comes to his office.
Okay, but if you have a plat and you bring it in, I have no idea what I'm talking about, Bob.
Plats he will not. Surveys he will.
Okay, so a plat he will not because
plat he will not because
that's all it talks about,
right,
is a plat.
People come in and, shoot, I've had them come to me, and don't even come near me with that.
Right.
Wanting to take what's already a subdivided subdivision mm-hmm. with lots and wants to sell off
I want to buy part of your land.
Right.
Lots within lots.
Right.
So he has a six-acre lot, subdivision with six-acre lots. He wants to sell three of them within one lot. He goes and sees a surveyor and says, can you survey this for me so that lot four is three lots?
Right.
Sure, no problem. They file the survey, and then by meets and bounds, he sells it to somebody. It's illegal, but they do it anyway, and we never find out about it.
Okay, so since it's not so if they bring a plat to him because it says this, okay.
Also, Mr. Hansel and I make a deal. I'm buying some land. I know what I'm buying. We go to an attorney. He writes me up a warranty deed. I bring the warranty deed. It's got a legal description of the land I'm buying. Recorder records it. It gets platted, and now there's a new lot. And the recorder doesn't feel like he has the authority without some kind of an ordinance or something to say.
To refuse to record.
Does any of this deal with the subdivision of land?
So that's what we're trying to deal with.
That's what we did a couple years ago.
If the commission were to pass an ordinance saying, you know,
that he could ask
that it's now illegal to file a survey.
Yeah, to split any land without planning zoning
approval. That splits any current subdivided lot. Then he would feel like he could refuse. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, under state statutes, the recorder mm-hmm. has his own state statutes that he doesn't feel like he can
right.
deny somebody the right to record something.
And but we've asked the commission to take a look at that, right?
Right, but it's been laying, and I have not pushed it any further. We pushed it pretty hard for
so
about 6 months.
Do you want to bring that up?
I'm asking, do you want us to go back to this stuff that we've done a couple years ago and bring back up?
I think that's something that needs to be looked at. That's the whole airport part thing.
The problem is the timeliness of it. Is there any way that you can get us that information?
Yes, ma'am. I can bring that to you.
Vote on it next week?
You've already voted on it. As far as to present it to them. I just need to know. But I'll bring it to you and show you the things that were still pending.
If we voted on it, the
other big one that he mentioned was that the commission, and I don't know that they really want to, but I think they realize they have to, needs to approve any rezonings or disapprove any rezonings. You hold the hearings and make the recommendations. But it's a legislative act, and it's the cases have all said, you know, you can't delegate. You're the legislature, Taney County Commission, for the county. You can't delegate that to the Planning and Zoning Commission. As a matter of fact, that's one of the big things that Stone County's scheme got thrown out of.
Exactly right.
But it says in here somewhere, I don't know where, though, that they can't change our recommendation.
There's some rules. You're right. There are some rules that they're not to review the whole project. They're supposed to review the work that you've done. And again,
and if they see something that's improper, they're supposed to send it back to us.
Or that's if there was information, like with our Board of Adjustment, that was not available at the time for a just cause, then they can review that information. But basically, they look at, and I'll try to bring you the pages out of the code book that I'm working on, because they've got a process set up for that. It's really neat, and it says once you guys have looked at the project, and they go to here, in Clay County's book, and everything. They've got a real nice process, and it actually gives the commission the criteria to look at what they're going to look at and everything like that. Again, we're a ways out on that book, but one of the questions from the commission was, you know, what if we don't agree with the project? Well, that doesn't always come into play. Did you guys follow your procedure? Did you violate any laws or rules or anything like that? You know, they don't necessarily rehear the project.
But that's by their rule and their code book. But
well, even in the state statute, it does talk about what they can look at and everything. So,
64.275.
I knew I shouldn't have given you these books.
Sorry.
No.
You're going to give it to me. I'm going to look at it.
64-275. And this was the section that I was talking about a little bit. When you finished your... and I haven't read this whole thing again here just recently, but if this is the one I'm thinking about, when we're done, a report is given to the commission on the project that we were approving. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was just trying to reference what
you
were talking about.
The scope of review by the county commission shall be limited to the recommendation and report of the board, except that the county commission may hear and consider additional evidence if the county commission finds that evidence in the exercise of reasonable diligence could not have been produced or was improperly excluded at the hearing of the board.
It doesn't say they can't reverse the decision of the board.
No, but it's,
No, it doesn't.
Oh, you know better than me.
Whenever the county commission finds there is competent and material evidence, which basically they're setting it up like an appellate court would review the evidence, and an appellate court can reverse a lower court, but oftentimes it remands it back to the court.
So the word may is the one that says...
Whenever the
county commission may remand the case to the board,
and material evidence which, in the exercise of reasonable diligence, could not have been produced or was improperly excluded at the hearing before the board, the county commission may remand the case to the board with directions to reconsider the same in light of the evidence. The report shall consist of a complete transcript of the entire record, proceedings, and evidence before the board. The county commission, before deciding the case, shall personally consider the whole record, or such portions thereof as may be cited by the parties, and shall personally consider any oral or written arguments presented by all interested parties.
So basically, they're looking to make sure that you've done your job correctly.
Right, and they should.
It's not an overturn, is it? They're saying, well, you might have made a mistake. Look at it again.
Is the word may instead of shall?
The county commission determining the result. So they determine the result that you reached by the board, shall give due weight to the opportunity of the board to observe the witnesses and to the expertness and experience of the board. And that's exactly the language that the courts use when they talk about the circuit court. They say they had the chance to observe the witnesses and see them in person, and they should give due deference to the decision of the circuit court and the jury. Doesn't mean that they can't overturn them. I'd want to look at the case law to see if there is any, see if they're allowed to overrule totally without remanding. Now, I'm not saying they can, but certainly nothing in this statute says that they can't overrule without remanding.
So the remand, the may instead of shall, might. I mean, it says you have an option, basically, to turn it back over to the board, but you don't have to since it says may remand.
Yeah, it does say you may remand. You don't have to remand.
Right. I guess if it said shall or something like that, then.
I'd want to look at some of the cases interpreting it. Basically, it's setting up the county commission as the appellate court over the circuit court. You're the equivalent of the circuit court, and they're the appellate court. And they either affirm your decision or they don't affirm. But basically, the Constitution and other things makes it the job of the
right, exactly right.
To be the legislative board, and they can't delegate that, and all the cases say that they can. So a rezoning is a legislative act. It's saying, now this is commercial. It's law. They're legislating.
Right.
Okay? So if they're going to change the zoning, they're legislating, not you. But the statute just sets up a procedure through planning and zoning on how it should work.
Okay.
And that was one of their big concerns. What all do we need to look at, or what all should we have to look at? Not to say that they're not going to have some insight that you didn't have, or something like that. And, of course, they're going to want to act on that.
And I'm not saying they can just overturn you. But at the same time, I'm not saying that they can't. I'd have to look at the case law. But certainly they can remand it if they don't agree with you and say, look, we don't see how you could have found this way. You need to
yeah, I understand
this.
That.
All right.
The planning and zoning makes a decision. The commission, in the absence of any other new information, still would have the opportunity to capriciously.
No, you can never.
I'll use that word. What I'm trying to say is, based on their own thinking, we don't like the project, therefore we just turn it down.
Yeah, but there are different standards of the law, and arbitrary and capricious is a specific legal term that. You would never want to be arbitrary and capricious. Actually, with legislation, you may be able to be arbitrary and capricious, but with a board decision, you could not.
Okay, so, but we're kind of dealing with a body that's both legislative and appellate at the same time, based on what you were saying.
But then the if they overturn, the aggrieved parties then would go to Board of Adjustment, and it would be. There's things to work out, and that's what I'm saying. So
I was just trying to clarify what he was saying. I didn't know if it was may or shall or whatever, but sounds like.
There's some things in here where it says they shall give due weight.
I don't expect the fact they will, and I understand that they already understood that they vote on that and they confirm what we've suggested.
If they just rubber stamp what you do, they're delegating their authority to you, and that would be illegal.
Right.
So they're not going to rubber stamp what you do.
Absolutely.
But what is it they can do within the confines of 64-275? I'd need to look at the case law and not just the statute. But certainly, at a minimum, they can remand it to you and say,
Or they can reverse it and not remand it.
Well,
maybe.
Can't they just reverse it by saying, and remanding it to you and continually remanding it to you? If you've decided that you're going to change the zoning and they don't want to change the zoning and they keep remanding it to you, the zoning hasn't been changed until they say yes. So, I mean, it's effectively done what they want it to do.
Well, at least at this level.
And at that particular point, if you can't reach a consensus, I guess they go to the Board of Adjustment or to the Circuit Court, somewhere else, if they can't.
I'm not expecting that to happen. I'm just wanting some clarification. Yeah.
They just need a little direction, though. They need a procedure and to be able to modify it and stuff like that. But it is something that I think we need to work toward.
The smart approach for any county commission in any county would be to trust its board or replace certain members it doesn't trust. Okay. Trust its board to make wise decisions and then go with those decisions unless they don't make any sense at all. So I would expect them to find with their board a huge majority of the time, just as an appellate court finds with the circuit court probably 95% or more of the time.
Okay, what you got next?
Okay.
He's
sorry.
Got all these pages earmarked.
No, not that many, just four. 64.285 duplexes.
What are you giving him a statute book?
I know. Hey.
I thought it was a neat idea because
I didn't
our
even,
Board
I
of Adjustment really
for.
Knows why they operate and how they operate. And I thought it would be good for you guys to understand some
I'll
of the rules.
I'll think of a collection to send them to law school.
Okay.
Yeah. We can be rid of them for 3 years.
Or extend turkey hunting season.
Then I would be unlike just like the rest of you.
Okay, Sean.
Whenever the county zoning regulations made under the authority of sections blah, 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 okay, down at the end, or require more restricted use or impose other higher standards than are required in any other statute, local order, regulation, private deed restrictions, or private covenants, the provisions of the regulations made under authority. I'm just wondering why we can't, if we impose other higher standards like a firewall. Why doesn't that provide for that right there?
We don't have anybody to inspect it.
Well, let me tell you this, too. In here, you're going to read, it talks about if you're actually going to get into how things are constructed, building codes. It talks about how you go about doing that, how it's voted in, and what you have to adopt. Okay? And so when you look at a lot of these things, and if I'm misspeaking, Bob, stop me. When you look at a lot of these things, width, size of yards, height of a building, stuff like that, we're not actually telling them what to build it out of or how to build it or what materials to use.
You are not. That's correct.
And so, consequently, you can set some rules, lot sizes, building height, things like
so
that.
So building materials wouldn't fall. I'm trying to speed this up. So
right.
Building materials wouldn't fall under
that would
under
actually
higher
fall.
Standards.
No, and you have to read all of these statutes
right.
with other statutes. And when you read it with the building code statutes,
that's why I asked you.
Those are more specific.
Yeah, okay.
And
this is all I got, so that's why I asked you.
And that's all I'm giving you.
That's good.
I can tell you where to find it on the computer, but
no, I don't have that much
I
time.
This is what basically we live by.
I'd look this over like from 4 to 5 today. I just want to have these questions all the time.
If we could do that, we wouldn't need building codes. We could just do it.
Yeah. But it's specifically in here, we'll talk about building codes and how you go about getting them, and if you vote to have them, what you have to adopt a whole code in its entirety. You have to adopt the whole year, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We're 2006 IBC or whatever the case might be. You can't say I'm taking this and that. What else you got?
That's it.
You sure?
Yep. The other one's already been covered.
10 years ago, we could have done it.
So.
That's all I had.
Anyway. That's what we have. But I will bring you those items that we've worked on the last couple of years that did not get, thank you, Bob, that did not get approved yet, and see if you still want to pursue those or not. And we'll go from there. This is good reading. It's not fun reading.
I have one more quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
Since Bob said that he had met with the State Board and they suggested, since we don't have building codes, that we rename our building code to something else, like code compliance permit or something. Do we need to vote on that?
No. I don't think so. I made that suggestion because they were flailing out. A lot of these people are non-lawyer. They're all non-lawyers except for the guy from the Attorney General's office that was sitting there and their counsel that was sitting up there. I mean, there were like 20 people in the room. They
but
were all
that
architects.
Would that help clarify a point for future?
Yes, it will help clarify a point. And they also wanted the county commission to introduce a piece of legislation, or at least Mr. Strafus was with me to introduce one, saying that if you're going to build a commercial building, that you need to comply with state law, and that we have a county ordinance that said basically obey the state law. We told them, without funding from the state, we're not going to go out and enforce that, but that we'd be certainly willing to introduce that, and I think that'll be done as well. But the suggestion that I made was that we change the name of our permit from a building permit, because we kept getting asked about building permits, and they didn't understand that they really aren't building permits. And one of the gentlemen, he used to be the president of that board, I said, if you really want to do something, he said, what should we do if we want to do something about this? I said, pass statewide building codes. And he said, we've tried that year after year after year, and we can't get it done. I said,
But they keep modifying.
So.
It's something, if we need to, we can work on and bring you a recommendation, I guess. It's no big deal to us, just some wording changes, all it is.
Well, it just helps Bob not, yeah, in the future, not having...
So, I mean, we can definitely look at that.
Not having to explain that it's semantics, but, you know, it just keeps things kind of cleaner.
It does.
I'm sorry, but I do
question
64.291.
It says that you can have a compliance officer. Bob, this thing is split up into non-charter. They're in the non-charter section, which is in the middle.
Is that even our section?
64.295 is non-charter form of government, so that would be us.
Okay.
295
or 291?
291, I'm sorry.
Okay. Any county commission which has adopted a zoning plan is provided for in 64.211-295. That doesn't apply to us. We use alternative planning and zoning. We don't use 211 through 295. Do we?
295?
211 starts this non-charter, if I'm not mistaken, Bob.
Yeah, but we're under 64.800 through... There's nothing that prohibits us from continuing, and that's what we got approved under, was 64.800, alternative planning and zoning. We did not get approved under first-class planning and zoning.
No, we didn't.
I believe there were ways that we could convert to that if we so chose, but currently we're 64.800, and we can continue to be 64.800 as a first-class county, and that's what we've done. So
well, I did a lot of reading for nothing. Thanks a lot, Eddie.
No. 64.800 is in this in this middle section here.
Is it in the middle section of the statute?
Yes.
291?
64.800, if you'll go back just a little bit further.
No. I'm talking about 64.291. Does it refer to 64.800?
No.
It says 64.11 through 95, doesn't it?
Yeah. And that does not apply. I don't believe that applies to us.
So, Bob, let me ask you this question then. When we started into planning and zoning, we were probably a third-class county.
Yes.
We've been moved up to a first-class county. Do not the statutes automatically change as you move up?
No. And we can stay alternative planning and zoning. If you look at what can do alternative planning and zoning, you can do that as a non-chartered first-class county. Yeah.
64.800 is in your books, guys.
So all the questions we ask were moved.
Pretty much.
I guess. I can't remember what question.
Well, let me go over them again. No, I'm kidding.
Well, this says the county commission of any county of the first class not having a charter form of government, which we don't, or any county of the second or third class may, after approval by vote of the people of the county, create planning and commission to prepare a county plan for all areas of the county outside the corporate limits of the city, town, village, which has adopted the city plan in accordance with the laws of the state. The county commission may make an order to present to the voters, you know, when it talks about voting this in, shall planning and zoning be adopted? If so, then planning commission is to proceed with a program of county planning as provided in section 64.800 to 64.840.
Yeah, which is the 800s, and there are some subtle differences between the 200s and the 800s, including, I think, makeup of the board and some other things. I mean, there's some subtle differences between the two. And we are under alternative planning and zoning and not under the 200 section.
And that's why I gave you all of this, because and split it into these different sections so you'd see that.
I just read what you told me to read, Eddie.
I wasn't prepared for this.
Yeah, all right. But now we know. 76 pages.
So. That's right. Now we know.
Okay. Is there anything else for the good of the order? If not, would entertain a motion to adjourn. Got it. We are adjourned.